And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we like to call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. Fort Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio audience. Oh, man. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world, going to the World Wide Web, watching us right now, live streaming on YouTube, X, Facebook, our website. Anyway, thank you. And then picking it up by podcast sometimes later on, too. Thank you very much. We love y'all. This audience makes everything worthwhile. Text messages again, and JP, you chime in anytime you got something over there on our YouTubes and all. Scott from Russellville says, excellent thought-provoking monologue, my friend. Keep it up. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you, man.
Well, we got Brother Racing on the Facebook.
Brother Racing
said, this fourth-gen American stands for Jesus Christ in the right side way.
There you go. Thank you, Racing. Appreciate you. That's Racing in Hawaii, by the way. Tom from Decatur says, reminds me of the Republic of Korea soldiers of Vietnam, the Rock soldiers. They were legends. Indeed. Paul from Decatur says, hey, Colonel. Paul in Decatur, great monologue. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you. Jeff Rowe from Indiana, long text. See what he says here. Says, Phil, this is what the Second Amendment was meant to do. Protect yourself from harm or a tyrannical government. But these days, and in California, I think if the Koreans did this again, instead of calling out the National Guard to quell the rioters, it would be called against the Koreans for having guns and trying to protect themselves. Peaceful protest is guaranteed under the Constitution, but when you have destructive and killer riots, I believe we should go back to the good old days when rioters were shot when they were looting or arson and threatening the life of someone else, then we would have very few riots. Yes, we would. If you didn't hear the monologue, I want to encourage you, go check out Rooftop Koreans. It's still a thing, man. In fact, I just started following one of them, and he's much older now, obviously. He's gray-haired, but he's got his own social media account, and I follow him, and he's putting up a lot of memories and talking about things. And anyway, Rooftop Koreans, it's an amazing story. It's an American story if you get down to it. Rooftop Koreans is an American story. How about that? Susan from Elkmont says, I've been reading some theories that the LA situation is part of a bigger plan to start a civil war so NATO and their blue hats can swoop in and make us part of the NWO, the New World Order. No, I don't agree with that, Susan. I don't. I don't think we're going to see the United Nations come swooping in because of an isolated incident in part of Los Angeles. What I do believe is happening, though, is that there are professional agitators, absolutely. I think there are people who want Trump to fail, who want our country to face strife. That's why you're seeing professional agitators literally coming in from out of state. And they do this. Remember during the Summer of Love 2020? There were people who would show up and you would see them in the pictures in, you know, Minnesota. And then they were in Michigan. And then they were in Wisconsin. And then they were, you know, down in Chicago. And then why? Because they're professional agitators. Some of them were being paid. And then you'd have whole truckloads of implements showing up, like, you know, shields for people to carry, signs that all look like they've been professionally made. Pallets of bricks are once again showing up on street corners near the protests. Go figure. Who's paying for the pallets of bricks? I want to know. Something else I've seen, you know, the other day we were joking about those Waymo cars, you know, talking about, JP, the Waymos, the driverless cars. You can actually, out in California, they have a company called Waymo. Maybe it's other places too. But they're driverless cars, and it's kind of like an Uber. You get on the app, you order the Waymo, it comes to your location, you get in the back seat, it drives you somewhere, and then it returns to its docking station and waits to be called to the next ride. Okay, cool. Except that what they're doing, these rioters are now calling up the Waymos, having them drive into the riots, and then destroying the cars, burning them. I'm looking at a picture right now of one, it's been totally gutted out, burned. It's got, you know, graffiti sprayed and painted all over it, and one guy with a Mexican flag standing on top of it. A Mexican flag. Here's an idea. You want to wave the Mexican flag, go back to freaking Mexico. How about that? Go back to Mexico. But they are literally burning the American flag while waving the Mexican flag while standing on U.S. soil. They don't have the sense God gave a gnat. but they've got matches and they're burning stuff. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue and happy Meatloaf Monday. You too, sir. He said, also, did you hear that the Israeli commandos intercepted Greta Thunberg's Gaza-bound aid boat? He says, LOL, and I literally just did laugh out loud. Yes, yes, I did hear that. He says, by the way, JP, I shouldn't have bragged about Auburn hosting a super regional baseball game because they lost two straight games and have been eliminated. I didn't realize they'd been eliminated. I knew they didn't start off what, right?
They got swept, they're out.
Jeez, the heck?
I guess all of Alabama's at the house now.
Was it Coastal Carolina? It was a two-game sweep?
Mm-hmm.
Coastal Carolina took them out twice.
Coastal Carolina's really good.
I don't care. They're Coastal Carolina.
Coastal Carolina won a championship a couple college? Years ago. No, what Coastal Carolina won it all like 4 or 5 years ago, I think. So, yeah, they're not bad.
How does a high school team beat, like, Auburn?
Coastal Carolina is not a high school team.
They're, like, one step above a high school team.
Their mascot's like the – God, I can't remember the name. It's like a different name for a hold on. I'm going to look this up because I need to know the name of it. The Chanticleers.
What?
Chanticleer, I guess, is a bird. But yeah, the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, that's their mascot.
That's their mascot?
Mm-hmm.
We're the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers.
Yep, and they beat Auburn, so.
That's just maddening. Okay. JT Lacey Springs says, quoting Phil Williams, quoting Phil Williams in regards to Newsom, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Yes to Snake Plissken or Quigley. Ah, Quigley Down Under. That's a movie. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
Gah, JP, your education is so far from complete.
Sorry.
Quigley Down Under. This is, I think that Tom Selleck made one of the best cowboys ever on a movie.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. He's Tom Selleck. Bruce from Springville says, I have a question. Why do the Democrat politicians in California want death and destruction to happen to their people? Well, because they are so into their TDS, their Trump derangement syndrome, that nothing else matters anymore. It's all about oppose Trump. If this was Biden in office right now, and Biden decided to do a mass deportation, they would be saying, what can we do to help? But because it's Trump in office, we're absolutely seeing the mayhem, and we're seeing calls for more mayhem. Let me just go to jump into some of my materials here. So I'm going to get into the legal version of why we're able to see this happening right now the way it is. But the first piece I'll bring up is just to let you know, the local delegations for Alabama, Tennessee, and otherwise are calling this out, and they should. But the one example I've got here in my hands right now, and I've seen several from Senator Tommy Tuberville on social media, but 1819 News has a piece about U.S. Senator Katie Britt slamming Democrats and California's failed leadership as these violent, fiery riots rage in Los Angeles over the weekend. Britt went on to point out some of the same things I just did about, you know, foreign nationals waving their foreign flags, obstructing traffic, throwing bricks at ICE vehicles, setting cars on fire. President Trump has had to send in the National Guard. There's allegedly a contingent of U.S. Marines from Camp Pendleton on standby. Katie Britt, our U.S. senator, repeatedly called out the left for defending the riots, which failed presidential candidate Kamala Harris referred to as overwhelmingly peaceful. That's Kamala Harris for you. Nothing to see here, just a largely peaceful protest. Everybody move along. She did. She called it overwhelmingly peaceful. A written statement, by the way. Britt asked the question, why did the state of California and the city of Los Angeles want these dangerous criminal illegal aliens freely roaming their streets? And why are protesters rioting? The Trump administration is enforcing the law to keep Americans safe. The LAPD LAPD police chief sort of destroyed the liberal narrative. You see, Trump had to call in the National Guard. And this is not normal, by the way. It's not often, I'm a little bit in the weeds here, but I'll just tell you this. National Guard troops typically fall under the auspices of the governor's office for their state. And then they have to be federalized to active duty. So under the law, Lawyer Phil talking for a minute, under the law, a National Guardsman is under what they called Title 32 of the U.S. Code. So a lot of times we refer to them as Title 32 soldiers. What that basically means is they can do state-level duty and directed by their governor to do things. If they ever mobilize for war or get called up for some federal duty, there's a provision under Title 10 of the U.S. Code, which is where all active duty troops are. Title 10 of the U.S. Code gives the president command authority. If he needs those National Guard troops for something, which we saw many times during the deployments for Afghanistan and Iraq, if he needs those National Guard troops, he has to do what's called federalizing them under Title X. It's very rare to see anything like this happen on U.S. soil. And you may ask, why is that? Well, there are laws against this. We don't want to return to the days of, you know, troops being housed in your home and being able to come and take what they need out of your house, or troops being used to put down, you know, civil, you know, people who have civil claims. You don't want to see that kind of heavy-handedness that looks like a tyrant when the military moves in. But there are exceptions, and there should be. And the LAPD police chief, he said it flat out. He said this thing has gotten out of control. Meaning, I mean, he was asked, okay, the prevailing narrative, Democrats are saying President Trump is acting recklessly by sending the National Guard. Is he really? Well, no, the LAPD chief said, no, this thing's gotten out of control. Okay, so what are we getting here? What are we getting to with Trump calling the National Guard up? Well, first of all, what we're looking at is a president who wants law and order. Can you imagine if you were standing in your front door and you watched somebody across the street trying to burn down your neighbor's house and just standing there and watching it? Just watching it, got nothing, setting the trees on fire, burning the bushes, lighting up the house itself. Would you stand there and just say nothing? Would you call for law enforcement? That's what's happening in LA. That's what's happening in LA right now. You've got whole sections of the city where you have pallets of bricks that have been delivered by God knows who, paid for by we don't know who, and these pallets of bricks turn into projectiles that are being used to assault police officers and assault their vehicles. There are now, I've seen images of like up to half a dozen or more police vehicles destroyed in place as people were bombarding them from the top of overpasses. Well, Trump has called the National Guard, and this is unusual, like I said. For the National Guard to get federalized for duty on U.S. soil is very rare. When we get back to this break, I'm going to explain to you. So when you're having that water cooler conversation or talking with your friends at Sunday school or somebody around the table at work, and they say, well, how's he doing that? I'm about to give it to you. You're going to look like a brilliant individual sitting there in that conversation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. I tell you what, I got a Babylon Bee right here. I just saw it on social media. It has a picture of the riots, has a picture of the guy flying the Mexican flag as he stands atop a burning vehicle with all the mayhem going on around him. And all it says is, illegals helped to film the Republican presidential campaign commercial. Yes, it's true. Yes. What do you got?
Oh, we got a comment here from Roxanne on Rumble. Says, question, can they use street cameras to see who's putting the pallets of bricks on the street?
If they've got them, yeah, I would hope so. Yeah, Roxanne, is that right? I think absolutely anything's fair game. I mean, there's going to be a Ring doorbell. There's going to be a security camera. There's going to be a pod. There's going to be a traffic camera, something. I mean, for some reason, pallets of bricks just keep showing up. And it's like, nobody has any idea. Just the brick fairy just dropped them off, I guess. And that's just unacceptable. And I'd like to know, too, if they have any labeling on them that shows you where they came from, go find the pay records. See how they were paid for. Subpoena that bad boy. Find out. But I did see right now, I mean, listen, Bongino and Kash Patel. Kash Patel had a great tweet this morning, and I'm going to paraphrase it because I don't have it in front of me right now, but he said something along the lines of, we don't need permission to enforce the laws of the United States. And he said, if you are breaking the laws right now, we will find you. I'm for it. Hey, let's talk about the legalities of where we are right now. So Trump has called out the National Guard, which, like I said, the National Guard, when it's under Title 32 status, falls under the purview of the governor. Okay, how's he doing this? Well, there's a couple of things here. Number one, Trump has certain tools in the toolbox, if you will, one of which is actually called the Insurrection Act. You almost hate to hear that word because libs just abused it after January 6th, right? But in 2021, liberals just like took the word and made it their own. Kind of like they stole the rainbow for gay pride. They stole the word insurrection and made it their own thing. But the Insurrection Act of 1807, it's been around for a while. It's been around on the books for use by a president to put down civil unrest. I mean, basically it grants the president of the United States some broad authority, if you will, under the law, to use the U.S. military to suppress domestic unrest, including insurrections, like actual attempts to overthrow the government, rebellions, or, and here's the or, other instances where state or federal laws are being obstructed or cannot be enforced. And in that case, it does allow the president to call up the National Guard and to federalize their forces to restore the order and ensure the enforcement of the laws. Okay, so I say all that to say, one of the things that Trump hasn't done yet, but he has allowed to do, is call out the National Guard for use under the Insurrection Act. He has to declare it, and he's given broad discretion on this. It's not like, well, Congress has to agree, and then the states have to, you know, file a petition with the courts, and then we have to hold an Article 5 convention. No, no, no. The law gives the president the authority, given certain conditions, to declare the emergency under the Insurrection Act. It's been used 30 times in U.S. history. 30 times. Thomas Jefferson used it basically to, you know, shut down protests around the Lake Champlain in 1808. I can look at, I can see things like, right, you know, of course we had the Insurrection Act dealt with the American Civil War. So Abraham Lincoln declared secession of states in American Civil War as an insurrection, and it was. In October of 1871, Ulysses S. Grant, as president, declared it to defeat white supremacists who were forming an insurgency in the former Confederate states. I can look forward. I can see things like, oh, I don't know, 1877, President Rutherford B. Hayes, a railroad strike across multiple states was shutting down the economy. He had to go in there and set things right. Most recently, I mean, I can look at things like Douglas MacArthur. As an Army general, he was given the authority to basically invoke the act against veterans who were marching on Washington, D.C. What? Yes. He was in the position where the law afforded him that capability. President Eisenhower. President Eisenhower, in the after the Brown v. Board of Education case that desegregated schools, Arkansas was forbidding the desegregation of schools, and President Dwight D. Eisenhower ordered the National Guard to be federalized in order to be able to stand them down because the governor was using his National Guard in violation of federal law to prohibit the ability of schools to desegregate. So Eisenhower said, nope, they're my troops today, and you're being ordered to stand down. And they did. John F. Kennedy invoked it at least three times. And they were all civil rights issues, two of which were in Alabama. One was when, of course, the infamous situation when Governor Wallace stood in the door of the classroom or the schoolhouse. And another in 1963 when National Guard was forbidding black students to go to all-white schools. And they were federalized in order to stand down. And then the march to Selma, Montgomery in March of 1965. Listen, it's been all the way up to modern times. I'll tell you a couple more of those. But the Insurrection Act is real. It's purposeful. It's there. And Trump's about to have to use it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, what a day. I'm watching right now. I got distracted there because I can't guarantee you this is accurate and up to date because every once in a while you see a video and you think, is that real? Is that AI? Or is that old and it's just now being played, but it has a picture of a Marine Corps Cobra gunship flying over LA right now. But you know what? I had C-130s flying over my house in Gadsden just the other day. Didn't mean anything.
Well, I know there were Blackhawks apparently flying over L.A.
So, well, Blackhawks are just troop carriers. Mm-hmm. This is a gunship.
Yeah, I don't know if a gunship was flying over.
I doubt very seriously they're making gun runs on the protesters. Just, you know, I don't see, you know, Hellfire missiles coming out of the sky.
No, I don't either.
By the way, your grandfather, my dad, worked on the Hellfire missile project.
Really?
Yep. Yep. All right. So I'm in this first dipper. It's going to be, we're going to unpack this thing in great detail. But right now, what we're looking at is LA is on fire. What is happening out there? And oh, by the way, how is Trump's legal standing with regards to whether he can, like, right now he's called out the National Guard. I mean, okay, they're the California National Guard. How is Trump able to call them up when the law says they belong to the governor? The governor says he's not going to cooperate. Well, guess what? There are federal laws on the book that allow the federalization of state National Guard to quell violence and to preserve life, limb, and property, and that's where we are. Now, the Insurrection Act is one of the tools in the toolbox, and Trump has not, to my knowledge, Trump has not declared an emergency under the auspices of the Insurrection Act. But I can tell you right now, y'all, like Ronald Reagan used it, he quelled a prison riot in Atlanta when there were Cuban detainees there who were rioting and it was getting like horrible. He had to call in U.S. troops. I remember, I think it was the 101st Airborne that was called in under Lyndon Johnson to bring order to violence in the South during the Civil Rights era. George H.W. Bush, the first George Bush, he had to call it up twice. The Insurrection Act, once in the Virgin Islands, U.S. territory, to restore order after a hurricane had wiped out the islands and there was massive looting. But the other was, the riots in Los Angeles. The Rodney King riots in Los Angeles, 1992. If you heard my monologue earlier, that's what I was talking about. The Rodney King riots, the race riots in South Central L.A. that spawned the rooftop Koreans and all that stuff that I talked about earlier, had 63 people that were killed, over $1 billion in property damage. It went on for 5 straight days. President George W. Bush was getting nothing out of local law enforcement. He sent in 15,000 military troops to quell the violence and to bring order to the streets because they weren't getting it done at the local level. So interesting dynamic here is we're looking at riots in the streets of L.A. The libs are freaking out and saying that Trump's a tyrant. He's calling out the military. Well, you won't do jack, will you? And where were you, by the way, when the race riots were going on and George W. Bush had to do it? So there's that, the Insurrection Act. How does he get around posse comitatus? If you're not familiar with posse comitatus, lawyer Phil again real quick. That's the law that's been on the books since 1878 that says that U.S. troops can typically not be used on U.S. soil. It's really bad form if you get down to it. It's really a big deal for federal troops to be used to enforce domestic policies. We are a nation that does not believe in, you know, something that has no checks and balances on it. But there are exceptions. I mentioned the National Guard, there's that. But there are exceptions even to the use of U.S. military. And what you're going to find is if there is an unexpected emergency, and there's no other means to quell the issue, then the president can call up forces in order to preserve the safety and sanctity of law and order. He can. And I said a minute ago, one of the phrases they use is life, limb, and property. If the president sees a threat to life, limb, and property, and there's no other means at his disposal to assist, and local law enforcement can't get the job done, then posse comitatus can be suspended, and there you have it. I've got a great piece here. Oh, where'd it go? Hang on a second. I'm going to pull it up. It's in my stack. But I've got a piece here by Jonathan Turley, and he talks about this at length. And Jonathan Turley, being the legal scholar that he is, he's got some great writings on this. Well, somewhere in my stack is a Jonathan Turley. What'd you do with my Jonathan Turley article? Did you take my Jonathan Turley?
I can't say I did, unfortunately.
Give me back my Turley. Let me just do this. I'm going to go ahead and say that Jonathan Turley's a smart guy and he wrote some smart stuff about this. But the reality is, under the U.S. Code, there's also an exception that allows the president to declare an emergency where there is no other means. And I'm not talking about suspension of posse comitatus, I'm talking about literally not the Insurrection Act. I'm talking about literally under Title 10 U.S. Code that the president has the ability to intervene. What I'm trying to tell you right now is, if you're having that water cooler conversation with your friends, if you got a lib who's sitting at the table with you for dinner and they're taking issue, if you got a conversation going on at work, or you're just sitting around postulating, or you want to put something smart on social media, go ahead and use the words posse comitatus and the suspension of posse comitatus, the declaration of the Insurrection Act, the exceptions under Title 10 U.S. Code. The President of the United States right now is acting well within his authority, to try and quell the violence that is tearing up the streets of a major American city. And he should, and he has to, and I'm glad he is. Now, listen, the Democrats, oh, here's my Jonathan Turley, I'm looking right at it. It's got my notes written all over it. I accused you falsely. I apologize in front of God and country.
I accept your apology.
Thank you very much. It's Meatloaf Monday. I must have a hanger going on right now. There's a piece here by Jonathan Turley, and I have to point out, you know, liberals, January 6th, I hate to impose it, but I got to talk about it. January 6th, you remember how one of the things that was being said about Donald Trump was that he failed to call out the National Guard. He knew he should have called out the National Guard. Why didn't he call out the National Guard? Insurrection. Okay. They were all about it then, weren't they? Now, he can't call out the National Guard. Why would he call out the National Guard? This is not an insurrection. Okay. They were all about it when it fit their narrative. Now here we are. Jonathan Turley points out that Trump has the authority under what is known as Section 12406 of Title 10 of the U.S. Code. Basically, if there is an inability of regular forces to execute the laws of the United States, he can indeed activate the state's National Guard. Doesn't even have to be an insurrection. Just there it is. Even Turley even points out that liberal legal pundits like Berkeley Law Dean Irwin have admitted that Trump does, unfortunately, they say, have the legal authority to do what he's doing. That's where we are. The world needs to know. Trump has the actual authority to do it. And I have to wonder, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Because right now we're seeing things. It's not just pallets of bricks. It's not just Mexican flags. We're watching things like Town Hall has a piece that says that anti-ICE riots in LA have reached new levels, where we're seeing deranged leftists torching cars. But what we're also seeing is we're hearing terrorist chants being heard among the mayhem. Trump's National Guard order came at the right moment, and now we actually, by the way, have U.S. Marines on standby at Camp Pendleton. I mean, this whole thing, y'all.
But I can't figure out how this is all Trump's fault, because, you know, Bass and Newsom are saying that this has gotten to this level because Trump is bringing in the National Guard. That's circular reasoning, because they wouldn't have to bring in the National Guard if it wasn't that bad. So how about you do something about your own state and city?
How about we go even one step further? How about the reason why Trump's having to do something is because they declared themselves a sanctuary state and a sanctuary city, and they have massive influxes of illegals, a number of whom have criminal records on top of being here illegally, and Trump is in there executing federal law to arrest and detain them, and they don't like that because they were already opposed to federal law on immigration, so now they want to oppose federal enforcement of federal law that they already opposed.
I can't handle the constant lying from them. It's like, and the mostly peaceful protest narrative is back, as if like our eyes are deceiving us. You know, there's this thing called social media where we can actually see what's going on, and your narrative isn't the only thing we have. So,
and we're allowed to see it now.
You're just blatantly lying. So I'm not going to take it like that anymore. I'm just tired of the lying.
Rooftop Koreans, baby. Rooftop Koreans. I'm just saying. All right, let me take a break, JP. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. We'll start moving our way through the rest of this topic. But yes, if you got any input on this, if you want to give me your thoughts, tell me. And how do you feel about Kamala Harris, former Vice President of the United States of America, calling for the protest to continue? We'll be right back. I And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, just pulling pins on truth grenades, man. I'm telling you what, Babylon Bee is on this thing like white on rice right now. Babylon Bee's got a new one. Here's the headline, has a picture of some soldiers. It says, Trump responds to the mostly peaceful protests with a mostly peaceful military. By the way, Libs of TikTok right after that is reporting that they have firsthand information, apparently, that 500 Marines were just deployed from Camp Pendleton, California. Says Trump is restoring law and order. And you know what? I don't think Trump's going to play around with this. I think he is going to restore law and order. It's going to be firm and fast. And I will tell you, I was called up as a National Guardsman. I was called up for duty for a civil unrest. So I was in a recon company in the Georgia Guard for a while. They're the ones that sent me to Ranger School and all that kind of stuff. And our unit was a part of a large mobilization for what were expected to be major race riots. There was allegedly going to be a Klan rally in downtown Atlanta, and there was going to be a counter rally of black activists who were going to be there. And there was all kinds of rhetoric going on. This is before social media. But there was still all kinds of discussion about what was going to happen and who was going to do what to who and all this stuff. And so they weren't playing. I want to say they mobilized several thousand National Guardsmen. And I was part of the mobilization. And we staged out of a big, I think we were like in a warehouse somewhere. I've forgotten where it was in near Atlanta. And then they took everybody in, and they literally had National Guardsmen standing like almost shoulder to shoulder, wearing riot shields, carrying sticks and body armor, and ringing like shoulder to shoulder around about a 4-block area. Helicopters flying overhead, Georgia Bureau of Investigation snipers on the rooftops, and the whole thing fizzled. I mean, like, I want to say like 4 Klansmen showed up with a flag and stood out there and said mean things, and the black activists never showed up, and we all went home. Like, wow. That was like so anticlimactic, it wasn't even just, it was ridiculous.
It's funny how it sends a message when the National Guards are there.
But that's a point. And that, I think that's the point. We don't know what would have happened had they not taken the steps to mobilize. And that's the point. Trump is tired of watching American cities burn. The Biden administration was content to let things burn. And you know, Kamala Harris funding the bail, for BLM rioters and just ridiculous stuff. But we've got right now the fact that there are a number of things being said and done that are actually making things worse. I've got a piece right here. I pulled this one off of redstate.com. Red State talks about the number of official statements that are making things worse. Mayor Karen Bass, Democrat, mayor of Los Angeles, her statement, "This morning we received reports of federal immigration enforcement actions. As a mayor of a proud city of immigrants who contribute..." How about a mayor of citizens? Here's an idea. "They contribute to our city in so many ways. I'm deeply angered by what has taken place." So the mayor is saying she's deeply angered. She says, "These tactics sow terror in our communities." How about the rioters? Do they sow terror? "They disrupt basic principles of safety." How about looting, burning, and assaulting officers? Is that basic principles of safety? "My office is in close coordination with immigrant rights community organizations." Oh, really? You're not in close coordination with law enforcement? Her last closing statement, "We will not stand for this. I want to know who we is." Who's the we, Mayor? I think we is you. But then it gets wilder. Protests are marching. She's out there making statements to the press. "We're going to fight for all Angelenos." Oh, we're going to fight now? Says the mayor of the city. "We're going to fight for all Angelenos, regardless of when they got here, whether they have papers or not. We're a city of immigrants." Okay. What you just heard there, people of California, is the elected mayor of one of the largest cities in the world just said, "I don't care if you're here illegally or not. We're going to fight for you." What does that tell you? She's not interested at all about illegal immigration. She's not interested at all about whether or not there's law and order. She's encouraging the fight. "Mayor Bass appears to be under the impression she can stop federal law," says Bill Malusion from Fox News, saying, "We will not stand for this." And then he asks flat out, "What does this mean? How's she going to not let it stand?" Then you got, others chiming in on it, and it's been a free-for-all. I mean, it's just something. But Kamala Harris may be the worst. Why? because she's supposed to know better. You know why? Because she's not only been the vice president of the United States with a call to allegedly supervise, govern, and be an executive for the entire nation. Before that, she was a U.S. senator for California. Before that, she was an attorney general for California. And before that, she was allegedly a district attorney in California. She prosecutes crime. Former Vice President Kamala Harris declared on Sunday she's supporting the anti-ICE protests. Oh my goodness, says Daily Wire. Harris has her home in Los Angeles. She's been mulling a run for California governor. She said in a statement that she is, quote, appalled at what we're witnessing on the streets of our city. But instead of focusing on how troublemakers hurled rocks and concrete and fireworks at federal officers, she took the opportunity to criticize them. Here's her quote. Deploying the National Guard is a dangerous escalation meant to provoke chaos. Meant to provoke chaos. No, Madam Vice President, it's meant to restore order. And she goes on to say, the administration's actions are not about public safety. They're about stoking fear, fear of a community that demands dignity and due process. My gosh. I mean, do you think they believe what they say out loud? I mean, how much of this is a stage show, and how much do they really believe of what they're saying?
They believe what they're saying.
You think?
I think because they don't like Trump that much, that they're so far down the hole that they've dug that anything Trump is for, they're against. So I genuinely think that their mind is just accustomed to blaming Trump, and that, well, if you didn't go in and wreak chaos and try to deport people, then we wouldn't have this problem. That's just so ridiculous, in my opinion.
Their mental synapses are just so burnt right now when it comes to Trump that they'll say and do anything that's, as long as it's anti-Trump. Look, we get back from this, we're going to take a few text messages, and then we got a couple things we'll add to wrap this topic up. You got some feedback on this? Text us, 833-68-RIGHT. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. I mean, goes from like Huntsville back on over to Tuscaloosa. I'm talking about from Gadsden back on over. Obviously, from Tuscaloosa. Where am I going, man? I don't know where I am right now. Huntsville back over to Chattanooga.
You may just have to start over.
Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, down to like Auburn and then across to Fort Benning and then North Georgia and Mississippi.
We cover ground.
This is what happens when there's so much input that I'm trying to watch TV.
There's too much stimulation.
Read social media. Text messages are coming in. I'm saying something from memory. By golly, I'm usually a multitasker, but that one just like fell apart.
It's just too much stimulation.
Dadgum. One thing I do know for sure, by the way, I do know for positive, is that we got some brand new podcasts that are out. So came out last night was the most recent Controversial Mom is out, correct?
Correct.
And then as of today, I believe the most recent edition of Out of Right Field with you, JP, correct, is out.
Correct.
Outstanding. The most recent edition of The Right Philosophy with me is in production, set to come out on a Wednesday. Am I correct?
Correct.
And what I'm most excited about is, not that I'm most excited about you, so just don't get hurt. All right.
I don't get my hurt feelings.
Okay. But what I'm also really excited about is the Just Right podcast, third edition, is coming out tomorrow night, right? Tomorrow night, 6 p.m.? Mm-hmm.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to want to see this one. Golly. I mean, this one wore me out. Some of y'all already know who I'm talking about. Her name is Thon Boyer. And Thon Boyer is got a remarkable story. She wrote a book called The Ground Kisser. But she was a Vietnamese immigrant, basically escaped from, you know, communism on a refugee boat. They got interdicted by pirates. She wound up in a refugee camp. And then next thing you know, she lives in Alabama. And her story is absolutely amazing. So the Just Right podcast is what we call a long form podcast, where we literally do deep dive conversations with some of the most interesting people you will ever meet. We're putting another one in the can later this week. Excited about it. I'll tell you about it more later on. But yeah, Thon Boyer, it comes out tomorrow night. And listen, what I love about her is not only her sweet spirit, because she's got a wonderful spirit, but she's got a story and she is adamant about it. And she will tell people that unequivocally, part of her mission is to make sure that people understand what a great country they have and to thank every Vietnam veteran she can find. Oh, man. Listen, it comes out tomorrow night. The Just Right Podcast. Stand by for that. I got some text messages. Let me get those real quick. Britt from Athens says JFK also called up the guard against George Wallace in July of 63 in Tuscaloosa. Yes, indeed. I think I covered that one. But yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Britt. Robert from Ardmore says, what happens if a member of the military ends up killing someone that's a United States citizen? Would or could lawyers and such try to go after a member of the military in that situation? No, very likely not, unless you can show that they were outside the line and scope of their duties. So let's say, here's a hypothetical for you, Robert. Let's say they're on guard duty, they've been armed, and there is someone who is putting, you know, life at risk or burning property, and they take action, and the protester dies. But they were given orders that your rules of engagement are to do certain things, and they did them. They're not going to be held accountable for that, in my opinion, or they shouldn't. But they likely would not. The UCMJ would likely not apply in that case. However, let's say that they have some downtime. They're off duty. They get drunk. They've got their weapon. And they go out there and they say, I'm going to go shoot me a protester. And they do. Well, that's outside the line of scope of their duty. They would absolutely be liable. So there are moments. But like anybody else, it's just like a law enforcement officer. If they're doing their job, they're likely going to be okay unless it can be shown that excessive use of force are outside the rules of engagement or outside the line of scope of their duties. David at Bucky says, hey, Phil, remember the Kent State shooting? I do. That involved National Guard calls to quell anti-war protests in 1970. Four students were killed. Others were wounded. Hope it doesn't happen again. Well, so do I, man. I do, too. But like that situation I told you about with me getting called up in Georgia for Atlanta, you know, a race riot. The race riots dissipated when the National Guard showed up in force. Bruce from Springville says, have you noticed when federal troops had to be used was when Democrats were in charge of the areas affected? Funny how that works, Bruce. Funny how that works. Thank you for drawing the analogy. You are correct, sir. Lou Ann from Huntsville says, my two cents on Kamala. Kamala does what the Borg tells her to do. She has been assimilated into the Borg. She's weighing in on the riots in an attempt to become relevant, but that ship has sailed. Said, frankly, I don't see her having enough gray matter to fully understand what's going on in this country. She has no clue how the illegal immigration has adversely affected our country, and I, for one, thank God she's not the commander-in-chief. Listen, Luann, you nailed it, and aren't we glad? Did we just dodge a bullet with her? Yes, we did. My gosh. I mean, What you got?
Well, I was just going to add another comment that we got. It's a question from Gina King on the YouTube. Says, will there be a nationwide injunction about activating the National Guard?
Say it again now.
Will there be a nationwide injunction about activating the National Guard?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they can. The nationwide injunction would have to show that the president was in violation of the laws. The Insurrection Act was put in place in 1807, I think it was. And then, you know, the Posse Comitatus Act does have some prohibitions, but it doesn't stop the president from declaring an emergency under the Insurrection Act.
But if you're using rationale, we've seen that the left has not used rationale with previous courts.
Okay.
So I guess the question is, will they try to do it no matter what? Will there be an attempt for a nationwide injunction?
I don't think they can. I think it would get, I hesitate to use the phrase shot down, but I think it would get shot down really quick. I mean, I think in that case that there's no way in the world you can look... You know, I say this.
That's what I meant. Like,
I get it. I totally get it. I totally get it. I'm super frustrated that I have to caveat my comments by saying I totally get it.
Does common sense get in the way of what they want to do?
Yeah, no doubt. Here's the thing. I think some will try.
Yeah.
I don't think the courts will be allowed. I don't think even a liberal judge will see this as a good idea, because they'll also be able to look at case precedent and they'll find Democrat presidents who have done the same thing. And they'll also look at case precedent and they'll see that this has been on the books since, you know, for almost the entire length of our country's existence. And I think it's stood up to constitutional scrutiny many, many times, because one of the essential functions of government is law and order and you know, preserving the nation's, you know, good order and peace is a part of supporting and defending the Constitution. And so the president has no choice but to do it. In fact, he'd be negligent if he didn't.
Yeah.
I would argue.
I mean, if you got protesters dropping rocks from the top of a bridge of bridges onto cops, and the state is just sitting back and obviously not doing a good job, like, it is the president's responsibility to do that, to protect the federal ICE agents. So, yeah, I agree with you. But unfortunately, they're going to try no matter what.
They are. Jay from Killin, Alabama. He says, I suspect there's going to be riots throughout the country in blue cities, and I believe there's going to be a lot of organization of paid protesters. Hope I'm wrong. Speaking of riots, or let me, right now we'll call it protests. Speaking of organized.
Peaceful protests.
Peaceful protests. You were telling me, you and Butters actually brought up one today. I had seen it, but I hadn't read up on it. What do you know about that thing?
The No Kings Nationwide Day of Defiance. No Kings. On June 14th. So what's that, 5 days from now? And it's nationwide protests. There's one. There's several in Alabama. There's one in Huntsville and Jacksonville and Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, pretty much all the, you know, big, semi-big cities in Alabama. I would suspect the Huntsville one will be pretty big, just from past experiences on that. But I'm not sure what the exact rallying cry on this is, other than Trump bad. But I guess that's enough nowadays. And I assume these California riots are going to make it even worse.
Who's organizing this?
I don't know. I don't know. If you go to the website, I don't know if you see much about who exactly is organizing it. But
it's literally called No Kings?
No Kings. And No Kings Nationwide Day of Defiance. And I think their website says something like, they've defied our courts, they've disappeared people, and now is our time to stand. No crown, no throne, no king, or something like that.
But what are we going to have? Like three Karens in their 70s standing out there with, signs that look like they're made, you know, professionally somewhere, and leave the knitting club behind real quick and go protest for a few hours?
Unfortunately, don't underestimate the left's reason to show up and just...
Oh, I'm not.
Scream. And
I just spent an last hour and a half talking about it.
Yeah. and it's unfortunate because Huntsville has had instances in the past where, you know, these whatever protests, they've shown up and been loud. And I remember in 2020, tear gas had to be deployed. So I don't know. I don't know how big it'll be. But yeah, I think these riots are going to make the protests even more prevalent, unfortunately, but we'll see.
Well, we'll see. And so they're calling, how many Alabama cities do they have listed in that? And then how about Tennessee? What about Tennessee cities too?
I have to go and look, get the exact number. But
I just see this being a thing in a few key places. I see it being a thing on social media, and I see it being a nothing burger in most locations listed. I think they're going to wind up having little paltry groups of about seven that'll show up and go, sing a spiritual, and then take a selfie and then head to the house. But some of them, we'll see. What do you got? Tennessee? You see it?
I'm having to count hand by hand. So it looks like we got 11 in Alabama.
Allegedly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. A lot more in Tennessee. Looks like almost 20 to 30 in Tennessee.
So like go to the one for Huntsville. Where does it say they're going to meet? What does it tell you about it?
Campus 805, Butler Green.
Campus 805?
Campus 805. If I remember correctly, I think that's like...
Are these college campuses?
No. I think that's the old middle school. What's the name of the middle? It's a close to downtown. Yeah. I don't know the name of the middle school, but it's got a restaurant there, I think, now in it. But it's near downtown Huntsville. It's Campus 805, I believe, is where that is. But yeah, that's where the information is on it. And there's an RSVP option. Saturday, June 14th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. We're going to be there for 3 hours. Come on out. We'll get a beer when it's done. And the axe throwing, it'll be great.
Yes, that place. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I know exactly where we're talking about.
It's probably not a good place if you get axe throwing.
I probably don't need to name the business. I can name it right now, but yeah. I'm going to hold off on naming the business. Yeah, but yes, there is axe throwing and beer and protests.
Yeah, that's not a good combo.
I'm laughing, but you know what? We'll see. Dave from Capshaw says, if we hadn't gone after Al Capone and his buddies and just left organized crime alone in the 1920s and 30s, we wouldn't have had to send in the feds, right? Sure. That's the way it works. Absolutely. And then Jay from Hartsell says, if they riot, Foot Lockers and liquor stores will lose more money than Trump's tariffs will ever cost them. Just saying. Perfect. Well put, Jay from Hartsell. All right. We're through with this topic, at least for now, but if you want to text in, you can text in and we'll take it. That's 833-687-4448, otherwise known as 833-68-RIGHT. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.